In the gospel reading 2 Sundays ago, Jesus started his sermon in the mount, where he presented a new program of life for his followers, as expressed in the Beatitudes. And then Jesus followed this up by challenging his followers to live the Beatitudes so that they could become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You know what? This could have confused the Jewish followers at the time, because they have been brought up to the program of life guided by the old law, the Ten Commandments. And this could be the reason why Jesus assured them in last Sunday's reading, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." In today's gospel reading, Jesus talks about how the new law, far from contradicting the old law, really fulfills it. To illustrate this point, Jesus used this formula. If you notice that in the gospel reading, that formula where he contrasts what they learned from the old law with his own teaching on the new law. He uses that formula. If you have listened carefully to the reading, "It was said, but now I tell you." Okay. "It was said in the old law, but now I tell you in this new law." And then Jesus concludes this refrain by stating what is to be done. So if you will note carefully in the three examples that Jesus gave, he does not abolish the old law, but expands, extends, and fulfills it. So the first example that Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not murder." And then he follows that up in the refrain, "But I tell you." Here Jesus extends the commandment beyond the act of murder to the thoughts, the feelings, and the actions that cause people to commit murder. Jesus cites three such feelings or behaviors: being angry with your brother or sister, insulting a brother or sister, and saying, "Fool." All these are dangerous. So he says, what then should you do? What is to be done? He said, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way, and first be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. You know that every Sunday we do this. Before we make the offertory in the Mass, we say, "The peace of the Lord be with you. Give peace to one another. Forgive one another if there is need for forgiveness. Be reconciled with one another." And then we offer our gifts. The second example that Jesus uses is that what he said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery." And then he follows that, "But I tell you, anyone who gazes at the woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." Once again, Jesus expands the commandment to prohibit the cause, the lustful look that leads to covetousness. So what is to be done? He said, if your right eye causes you to stumble, if your right hand causes you to stumble, then pluck it off or cut it off. This is hyperbole, of course, to make a point. Jesus' point is that we should pluck out our eye or sever our hand to emphasize that sin is so deadly that we need to be seriously deadly about eradicating it from our lives. Again, the third example, you have heard that it was said, you shall not make false vows, but shall perform to the Lord your vows. And then he follows that up by saying, but I tell you, don't swear at all. By false vows are meant, of course, perjury, deceiving others through falsity, through false oaths. But Jesus continues by prohibiting not only swearing falsely, but swearing, period. Don't swear at all. Neither by heaven, for it is the throne of God, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall you swear by your head, for you can't make one hair white or black. So what do you do? He says, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Whatever is more than this is of the evil one. Here Jesus introduces a new and higher standard. The disciples are to keep their language simple and their actions honest. For if one is honest in his or her words and deeds, there is no need for one to support his or her statements and transactions with oaths or swearing. In our time, we make an oath by a solemn invocation of God. So, help me God. To bear witness to the truth of what we assert to be the case, it is necessary and admissible to ask God's help in the discharge of an important social duty. For example, the president's oath of office, or while bearing witness in the court of law, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Jesus teaches, say yes when you mean yes, and say no when you mean no. That is, he invites us to live in truth in every instance and to conform our thinking, our words, and our deeds to the truth. Now, what lesson can we draw from all this? In the three examples of the commandments forbidding murder, adultery, and perjury or false oaths, Jesus fulfills, extends, and expands the riches of the commandments to the interior sources and causes of these sins, such as anger, lust, and deception. For Jesus, what matters the most is the inner heart, the spirit of the law, not the external, the letter of the law. Let me illustrate this with a closing story. This is a story about the sweeter apple. A lovely little girl was holding two apples in her hand. Her mom came in and softly asked her little daughter with a smile, "My sweetie, could you give your mom one of your two apples?" The girl looked up at her mom for some seconds. Then she suddenly took a quick bite on one apple and then quickly on the other apple. The mom felt the smile on her lips freeze. She tried hard not to reveal her disappointment. Then the little girl handed one of her bitten apples to her mom and said, "Mommy, here you are. This is the sweeter apple." That is what we are asked to do, to give the sweeter apple to anyone who asks in His name. Amen.